Saturday night, I think it is, and I travel so much I don't know what day it is anymore or whatever. I'm just glad to be here. I was supposed to be here last night, but because of a tornado or tornado watch in Dallas, Texas, I couldn't get in and couldn't get out of Dallas.
Where did you say, Texas?
In Texas. And so, in Texas, that's down south, sir. But I couldn't get out of Dallas. I couldn't get into Dallas. I couldn't get out of Dallas. And so eventually I got over here last night or whatever. So I want to thank you for the hotel room. It's a tremendous room. When I found the right room, I was good. I came in last night and the preacher dropped me off and he gave me the keys to the room. And I walked up and so I tried to get in the room and the keys didn't work. I'm thinking, okay, do I have any of us tired? It's probably 10:30 or maybe quarter to 11. Do I have the right room? I looked at the door and said, yeah, it's not my room. What do you mean? It didn't work. So I thought, I'll just go downstairs and get them rekeyed. And so I went downstairs and said, look, you can rekey these because they don't work. And so she rekeyed them and I went back up and put them in. Green light, come on. Boom. But the door didn't go open because it was locked on the other side. The bolt. Somebody had the bolt on the other side. I'm thinking, God help us. And so I went back down to the desk and I said, there's somebody in that room. And she said, no, there's nobody in that room. That's for you. And so we went to it and she looked up the name and couldn't find my name. And we finally figured it out. I thought, okay, well, just call the room and ask them who's in the room. And so she called the room and it was Brother Vest. God bless his heart. Amen. And so, not only did I scare him half to death, then after they got through that, they called him and woke him up again. And so anyway, I said, Brother Vest, why'd you take my room? And so we got that there. And so finally got in. But I want to thank you I did find a room. Amen. They did find me one. And they got two queen size beds in it. And I'm telling you what, it was good to go to bed last night and to get up and a tremendous meal at the hotel and whatever. And I know why everybody's struggling tonight. And we should get them. Why is everything kind of this way and that way? Man, we're full of food. Good night. We went to the Mongolian restaurant, and man, you know, two bowls and get this all cooked up and whatever, and so we got out of there. Then we went to Dairy Queen right after that, and I'm thinking, man, I'm trying to lose weight. Trying to, anyhow. And I went to Dairy Queen, I had a blizzard and whatever, and then went to the room and come back here, and I couldn't hardly eat anything tonight. And so I know why we're all struggling a little bit. We're all tired because we ate or whatever. And so I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the meals and the hotel and all the work that you put in to get this conference going. I want to thank the missionaries for coming. Amen? And I also want to thank you for allowing your pastor to go to the mission field. I want to thank you because he played an important part in my life and Brother Vest's life. And we were sitting at the table today and just going back and looking at all the memories and all the results and whatever. I know that you sacrifice to give up your pastor when he goes on trips to the mission field or whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. He's made an impact on the world because he has a church behind it that makes an impact in the world also. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for supporting us. You supported Sam and whatever, thank you for taking care of that. But, you know, just thank you for what you're doing for missions. And I know it's a sacrifice sometimes to give up your preacher or whatever, but I'm so glad you did because he's influenced a lot of people around the world. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. I'm going to go real quick tonight because I don't want to keep you too long, because if I keep you too long, you won't come to church tomorrow morning. And some of you won't get out of bed in time to come. So I want us to look at the portion of Scripture here. I happened to see your brochure when I came in this morning and seen that your theme for your conference is Visionaries, come over and help us. And so I thought I'd go through this and look at this morning. So I prepared this message. I'm a very simple preacher. I believe what the Bible says. Amen? And then I want to act on what the Bible says. And so let's all stand as we read in Acts chapter 16. And Acts chapter 16 in the Bible. And I say this many times, you're very fortunate because there are about 3 billion people around the world that do not have a Bible to open. Now, you have a Bible tonight. You've got to praise God for your Bible. You've got to love your Bible. That'll be very important in your life. Let's start with verse 6 here in Acts chapter 16. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and after they were come to Mysia and say to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathered that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Father, thank you for the people that have come out tonight, the people that have been working and preparing for this conference. And Father, tonight what we will put into our heart and into our minds will determine on how many people have an opportunity to hear the gospel throughout this area, Montana, throughout America, and around the world. And so, Father, this is a very important mission conference this weekend. And Father, we need your help. Father, we can't do it by ourselves. Father, we need you. And so, Father, I pray that you would help speak to hearts. And Father, that you would give us a vision, your vision, and what you want to accomplish throughout the world. Now, Father, do a work that only you could do. Save the lost and change the life of the believer. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As I was looking at this portion of Scripture this morning, I was going through this, and Paul here was on his second missionary journey, and he was revisiting his church in Asia Minor, and it was good to go back, and Paul was going back and going back and seeing that what he had accomplished before and whatever. And it's always a great thing to see people saved. Amen? Man, I'm telling you what, I get excited when people get saved. And you know, in the Christian life, some of us, if we're not careful, we lose our enthusiasm and we lose our passion. And the reason we do that, number one, is because we don't remember our own salvation. You got to always be remembering your salvation. Always remember the day that you got saved. And I've been saved 44 years now. And boy, I go back and remember the little time that the pastor came by the house in the little country farmhouse and led me to Christ. I go back and remember that. I remember that, and that helps me stay excited. And another way to stay excited is to get out the gospel and let and watch and hear other people get saved. Amen? Now, I'm telling you what, I love to hear about people being saved in different places and all around the world and whatever. So, and not only that, but it's good to see people saved, but it's equally vitally important that we see people grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I've been a missionary now for almost 40 years or whatever. And, of course, I was in the Philippines 15 years there. And 15 tremendous years. And can go back and remember all kinds of things that God did. And, man, we had a mission conference there. And, of course, Brother Shears came over. And Brother Vest, he came over. And, man, I think God was into that thing. And for that mission conference, we were thinking this morning, man, young men now are pastoring churches. And we got them in Thailand and going along the Burma border, one in Nepal and different places. And they're growing. I like it when people get saved, and I like it when they grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they go out and do the same thing. That's what basically what missions is preaching the gospel, getting them saved, and getting them baptized, and then teaching them all things so they can go out and do the same thing. We need to multiply ourselves. Amen? Man, we need to multiply ourselves. Everybody here ought to be working with somebody. And so we look at this here. Of course, I went out to this portion of Scripture just real quick this morning to look at this. And I'm just, like I said, a very basic type preacher or whatever. So I just went down through this. And some of the things I begin to see as I walk through this portion of Scripture. And one of them is this, the Holy Spirit. Look at this here in verse 6, right? And we're forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they had essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And I'm thinking about this. Man, it's so important. This conference needs to yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Well, if I could ask you to do one thing in this conference, that you would allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you, and that you would allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and to show us what we need to do, and that you would just yield to what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. I understand. Not everybody goes to the mission field. Not everybody can go there. I understand that. But everybody needs to have a part in the mission field, have a part of getting the gospel into all the world. And I'm asking you, would you just come and listen and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, and then would you yield to the Holy Spirit? That's all I'm asking you for this mission conference. Just yield to what the Holy Spirit of God wants you to do. So we see the Holy Spirit here. Of course, then we see the man. Verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul and I. There stood a man of Macedonia. And he's representing the people of Macedonia. We see so many people, as you see the missionaries coming from Brazil and Honduras and the Philippines, and of course Brother Beth is working with Burma and whatever, and I'm traveling around the world from one place to the other or whatever. Boy, if you could just kind of get a vision of people. Just get a vision of different types of people, whatever. Here's a man. Come over. Come over and help us. Boy, you can't comprehend this. And I was supposed to go to Africa and a couple weeks ago, and I would have just gotten back last week or whatever. Man, I went out, and man, we were getting Bibles prepared and getting ammunition. One of my jobs is doing this, not only reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but then helping them grow, but giving the nationals ammunition. I don't know about you, but we need ammunition. Amen? I'm telling you what, I got a Bible here. I mean, I got a Bible on CD. I got it on my iPad. I got it on my cell phone. I got it on my computer. I got this, and I got Sunday school lessons. Man, I'm telling you, we got it, amen? We've got Sunday school lessons. We got the Bible. We've got it all. But I'm going to tell you something, people around the world, they don't have that. But they would love to have it. Here's a man that said, come over and help us. Here's a man that wanted to reach his people. A man that needed help. And when he's saying, look, it was somebody just come over and help us. Come over and teach us. Come over and train us. Come over and give us the ammunition that we need. Boy, there's a lot of people around the world who would just love to have the opportunity that you have. They'd love to have that. Not only do we see the man, then we see the missionaries. Of course, we see Paul and maybe Timothy and Luke and others here. We see the missionaries, and they're needed. The world needs missionaries or church planters, evangelists, church planters. I don't care what you call yourself, but they need what we got, and we need people to go. Amen.
Amen.
We need people to go. Maybe God would speak to some young person or somebody. God would speak to somebody these next few days and say, look, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, maybe the Holy Spirit will talk about your heart and the Holy Spirit would call you. Somebody needs to go. Look at the missionaries and thank God for the missionaries. Man, they travel. Boy, some of you just need to ride along with the missionaries for a while. Man, I get to travel with missionaries. Man, I was with one missionary couple that had 6 kids and they were all underneath the age of 6. And a couple, I think 1 or 2 sets of twins in there, and I was going to a meeting, and I was going to go with them or whatever. And I'm telling you what, thank God in my day, we didn't have the car seats. Amen? Man, I'm telling you what, now, it takes you probably an hour just to load up your kids and everything, the diaper bag, this bag, that way. Man, I thought when I was my generation, I had 4 children or whatever on it. I mean, I used to take the diaper bag and the playpen and all this other stuff. I thought I was the mule of the family. Eh? Just load the old donkey up and just have him do it. But nowadays, God help us, man. You got the car seats and this and the stroller. I'm telling you what. But man, some of you just need to ride along. You ever be in a car with 6 kids? Amen. God help us. Now, again, back in my day, we didn't have the DVD player and all this other stuff and all the technology, whatever. We had the schedules. You know those little square things, the schedules where you take the lines and whatever like that? Good night, man. And twist this and twist that and whatever. I'm thinking, man, you know, it kept them busy, amen? But now they got all kinds of things, GPSs, they got the whole works or whatever. And man, you just need to be with the missionaries, traveling from one church to the next church to the next church. And a couple of weeks I'll be in 3 services in 1 week or whatever, 3 different churches or whatever, just going from place to place to place. Man, I wake up sometimes, going, where am I? I got to get out my wallet and check my driver's license and that's who I am. And I'm not going to figure out where I am. I got to figure out where I'm going. Well, I got home one night, and man, my wife said, man, last night you jumped up in the middle of the night and said, where's the suitcase? And started running for the door. I said, man, lock it, man, because I didn't know where I was going. I had no idea where I was going. I said, man, whatever you do from now on, lock the door, man. Bolt that thing shut, because here I am running out my pajamas or whatever, going down the street with a suitcase, trying to figure out where I'm going. Where am I going? Who am I? They'll lock me up, amen? So we see this. So, but pray for the missionaries. We need missionaries and church planters. We need someone to go with the gospel. There's a needy people out there saying, come over and help us. I want to get you a vision, right? A vision of there are people out there that need help and want help and want to reach their families and want to reach their country and want to reach their nation. Well, we live in America, and thank God we live in America, amen? This is a Christian nation. I don't care who says it's not or whatever. I don't care what the president says or anybody else says. This is a Christian nation. Amen. It's founded upon Jehovah God. And so we're very fortunate for that. Now, in that, we'll look here. We see the Lord. Verse 10. And after he had seen a vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathered that the Lord had called us. But we need the Lord involved in what we're doing. Amen. We need the Lord involved. Man, I tell people, man, you know, young people, if you're going to do something for God, let the Lord or the Holy Spirit call you. Let God call you. Amen? Man, I'm telling you, we got preachers sending missionaries and preachers people in the ministry, and our parents are putting people in ministry, and everybody else. Look, and I told people, man, I taught missions at a big major college. I said, look, if God's not going, if God hasn't called you, and he's not going with you, don't go. I said, whoever calls you has got to go with you. I mean, man, if your pastor calls you, don't pack your bag. Pastor, you're going along. Mom and Dad, you call me, pack your bag, we're going on. Your girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever's going, I don't care, man. I know one thing for sure. God called me to go to the Philippines. No one could talk me out of it. I didn't take a survey trip, and I'm not against survey trips or whatever. Man, I said, look, God called me to go to the Philippines. I locked in on that. Man, God called me. I focused on that. Everybody else took 2nd place, man. Just move all the way. Just move out of it. I work for UPS. And man, I got a job there and begin to work my way up through there. They said, man, why don't you stay here the rest of your life? Man, they did all kinds of things to get me to stay there. I said, look, man, I didn't come here to stay. I came here just to get through Bible college, man. And they said, well, man, you know, if you, you know, they want me to stay, I said, I can't. I said, well, you either stay or lose your job. I said, well, you got 2 weeks' notice from this point on. And they said, where are you going? I said, look, I was looking for a job when I stopped here. I'll start looking again, amen. Of course, I'm always employed. I serve the Lord. I'm always employed. And so we look at this here, but the Lord called him. Then look at this again real quick. It's just in that same verse, in verse 10. And it says that the Lord had called us for what? To preach the gospel unto them. So we see this, the gospel. It's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get in your vision, and as it's a cover and helpless. Why? Because look, we need the gospel. The gospel needs to be preached. Amen? If you look at it, come over. It says, preach the gospel unto them. And boy, we see these things here. We start out, we see the Holy Spirit, we see the man, we see the missionary, we see the Lord, we see the gospel. I want us to look at a couple simple things, like a little bit of an outline here, and then I'll let you go. But I want us to look at this. First, I want you to see the vision. Right? The word vision. We see this here in verse 9. And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. A vision. A vision of a need. And Paul was going, and he was going back and revisiting his church. But God, the Holy Spirit forbid him to go this direction because he wanted to go in another direction. I'm always glad that the Holy Spirit is always leading us. Amen? And the Holy Spirit may, you know, the Holy Spirit knows where to go and what needs to be done. If we'll just yield to the Holy Spirit, that's what I want you to do in this mission conference. The Holy Spirit knows what He wants to do with Heritage Baptist Church. The Holy Spirit has a direction for you to go, and He has a purpose for this mission conference. If you would just yield to the Holy Spirit. That's all I'm asking you. Just yield to what the Holy Spirit wants the Heritage Baptist Church to do. Just yield to it. But we see here there was a vision. And boy, in the book of Acts, you'll see this. 9 times you'll see 9 visions, especially mentioned in the book of Acts. And they're all directed towards bearing or spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Haven't got time for you to go through and see all 9 of them or whatever, but they're in Acts 7:55 and Acts chapter 9, verse 5 through 11 and 10, whatever. And I'll give the verses if you want, but I haven't got time to go through all that. But boy, 9 times. The vision is there. It's all directed, basically, bearing and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has a vision for the world, isn't it? Boy, for God so loved the world. God loves the world. He has a vision for the whole world to have what you and I have. He has a vision for the whole world to have. Well, we have the gospel. We have salvation. We have eternal life. You have a pastor. You have a church. Man, I'm telling you what, God would say, boy, I wish every place in the world could have what you have. He has a vision for that. God wants everybody to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants everybody to have an opportunity to have their Bible and a pastor. I travel, and I've been, I don't know how many countries I've been in now, and I've been on all 6 continents and been all over the place and whatever, and seen people say that 2 basic questions they have after they get saved. Number 1, can I have a Bible? Can I have a Bible? Man, I've raised money for Bibles, and I raised money for Bibles to go on that African trip. And man, went out a couple days before and got it all ready, whatever. And the day before I was going to leave, woke up, and I had kidney stones. Man, I had them bad. I'm still fighting them. And my nickname's Stony, amen? I've passed 40 or 50 of those things. Still got a bunch of them. Went to the doctor, had bleeding, so I thought, man, I better check this out. If I knew for sure it would have been kidney stones, I went to Africa anyway, because I've already passed them in Japan or France and other countries. I just didn't know exactly that's what it was, because it was a lot of bleeding and whatever. I thought, well, I better get this checked out. So I had to call somebody to take my place. I said, look at kidney stones. The other man said, I'll take your place or whatever. We went out and gathered up Bibles and everything. And man, I'm telling you what, we had a man in Africa, a national man in Africa, and said, look, could you come down, really, this fits the sermon. Could you come down and help us? Can you train us? Can you just come down and help us to get Bibles? We went to South Africa and we were going to work our way up to Botswana and up to Zimbabwe and up through there and whatever. And of course, in South Africa, they speak English. That's a plus, amen. Boy, I like it when God opens the door sometimes where they speak English. And of course, I've got things in French and I've got things in Spanish and different things. I wish somebody would invent where you could put a cap on your tongue and you speak a different language. I'm telling you what. And so anyway, we see this here, though. But we see the vision here. The vision. A man, the vision here. Okay, in verse 9. And a vision appeared unto Paul. Boy, visionaries, come over and help us. God has always had men with a vision. You look at William Carey, and as he looked and prayed over the map of India, and he said, oh, man, William Carey got a vision of India and all the needs of India. Today, over 1 billion people in India. A vision. Get a vision. A vision of what God wants Heritage Baptist Church to do. There's a vision. 1 billion people in India. When William Carey said that, it touched his heart and he went. You look at David Livingston in Africa. And I've been down where David Livingston is. I've been in parts of Africa and the Congo, different places where David Livingston was or whatever. And he looked at Africa and seen those people without Christ. Do you see people without Christ? Do you have a vision of people without Christ? Do you think about people without Christ? We see people every day. They pass us by, whatever. And then, boy, we see this here. Always carry the gospel with you. Amen? Always do something. If you can't win them or whatever, you don't have time, give them a gospel tract. Yeah? Man, give them a gospel tract or whatever. Man, we got to get a vision of people without Christ. We look at this, not only William Carey, but Hudson Taylor in China. Hudson Taylor had a burning desire for China. He's seen all those people in China today. Again, another nation. Well, 1 billion people. Look, the problem is this. The problem is not we don't have anything to do. The problem is we don't want to do it. There's a lot to do, amen? And imagine, I preach in a lot of churches and travel around the world and go, well, you know, our church really doesn't have much to do and we don't have much going on. Why not? There's stuff to be done. Amen? Don't sit here and say, well, our church really is not doing a whole lot or whatever. Well, why isn't it? Because there's people that need to be reached here in Great Falls, amen? There's people here that need your help and need to be things to be done. There's a world out there calling, come over and help us. Oh, we look at this. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. We talk about a vision in Proverbs chapter 29, a very familiar verse. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. All right? But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Oh boy, a lot of people would like to have the law today, the Bible. There'd be a lot of, but where there is no vision, the people perish. And so many times we read that verse and we're thinking, people without the gospel, people that are lost. We focus in where there's no vision, the people perish. We're thinking, well, if there's no vision for the lost people, they will perish. And it is true. If they do not get the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will die and go to hell. They will. We don't like preaching on hell anymore. We don't like we're living in a society now where we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We don't want to do this. We're such, American Christians are the biggest babies on the face of the earth. Not only the Christians, but Americans. We can't take any hardness anymore. Boy, if somebody said they're like Lester Roloff said, Christians are like tissue paper. They can't take a hard blow. I can't, but that's our society right now. But look at this. We look at this. Well, there's no vision, the people perish. We think, oh, man, if we don't get a vision of the lost people, they will perish. But I'll tell you something else. Not only will the lost people perish, but the Christians will perish. If a Christian does not have a vision for the lost people, if the Christians do not have a loss to God's work and what God wants you to do and to get a vision of what God loves and what Jesus Christ died for and what the Holy Spirit wants to empower us for, if we don't get a vision, how many Christians fall by the wayside? How many Christians, how many of you are in this church today? And by the next time, if I come back next year or whatever it goes on, by 1 year thing, how many people will be gone? One reason is they don't have a vision. They don't have a vision. You're doing something. I'll tell you, get into a ministry of this church. Anchor yourself down. I'm here with a vision of helping this church be what the Holy Spirit of God wants us to be and to reach the people we can do. I'm going to tell you something. If you get a purpose in life, you won't fly off and go here, 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 here. We have such an aimless generation. An aimless generation has no aim to do anything. I'm telling you something. Get yourself locked into the Sunday school class. Get yourself locked into some ministry of this church. I'm here to help preacher build this ministry so we can reach the people of Great Falls and go into all the world and help those who are calling come over and help us. If you don't have a vision, you'll perish. How many Christians are perishing because they don't have a vision? Not only that, the missionaries will perish. If the churches do not get behind the missionaries will perish. Well, I haven't got all the statistics and how many, when the war starts, young people from the age into grade school or whatever, through high school, through college or whatever. Man, I'm telling you what, a lot of young people have surrendered the mission field or whatever. And before long, they'll drop out and they drop out and they drop out. We wonder why missionaries quit. We wonder why missionaries come home from the mission field. We wonder why missionaries don't make it through deputation or whatever. Why? Because we don't have a vision. We don't have a vision for them. Boy, you heard the story of Brother Matthews tonight, and you got to see a picture of what missionaries go through. And I'm going to tell you something. You struggled, amen? You go through hard times. Missionaries do too. Gotta get a vision. But most of you are very fortunate. In America, when you go through a difficult time, you got family. You got relatives. You got other people. For a missionary, sometimes get on the mission field. They don't have a lot of people back there to help them. They face some of that stuff by themselves. And of course, it's good for us as missionaries. And we went through some difficult times. And I don't regret it. I'm like you, brother. I don't regret it because it helps us go to the Lord. It helps. We get to know the Lord in a very special way. My wife almost died in the mission field or whatever. Cried out to God, if you don't intervene, it's over. But I'll tell you what, it helps us. It strengthens us to go to the Lord. We get to know Him better. Not only that, but churches perish. How many of our churches are perishing? How many of our churches are dying for a lack of vision? Churches die because they get stagnant. They die because they start focusing on themselves and they come inward and whatever. And they come to the point they don't have any vision of going and doing something outside for God or whatever. I'm telling you about Heritage Baptist Church. Get a vision of doing something for God. Amen? Get a vision for it. It's not the unreached people groups that concern me as much as the unmotivated church. Did you hear that? No, 16,000 some hundred unreached people groups out there. And I focus in on them, and I pray for them, and I try to work with them, and man, I'm overwhelmed with them, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, now, you know, it's not the unreached people groups that concern me as much as the unmotivated church. Our churches are, they lack motivation. Man, while I'm preaching here tonight, you've got missionaries already on the field. They're preaching. They're out soul winning. And I try to do this on Saturday night as much as possible when I know who I am and figure out what I'm doing. I have to preach and pray and say, oh, dear God, help everybody in the world right now, especially on the other side of the world, because my son's on the other side of the world as a missionary or whatever, and it helps me do that. God, help everybody that opens up this Word. Open up the Word of God tonight. Fill them by your Holy Spirit power. Be with every missionary, every evangelist, every national pastor, every Sunday school teacher, every soul winner. Man, during the day, dear God, I pray by the time I wake up in the morning, millions of people will be saved, thousands of people will be baptized, hundreds of churches will be started. Amen? When you walk through these doors tomorrow morning, you ought to be praising God. Amen? Heritage Baptist Church had people saved while I was sleeping. Well, you know, our church is not doing as much as it should be doing or whatever. I'll tell you what, it's doing a lot more than you think it's doing. Doing a lot more of what you think to it. So we look at a vision. The second thing, real quick, come on, look at it. After the vision. Point number two. After the vision. Let's go back to Acts chapter 16 and look at this. After the vision. Look at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately. I like that, amen. A vision without action is only a dream. Or remains a dream. A vision without action remains a dream. Paul recognized that God was in this. Amen. Boy, Paul looked at this, and Paul came down through there, and he went through there, and that vision came from God. He said, look, Paul recognized that God was involved in it. I want you to understand this tonight. Let me ask you something. Do you realize that God's involved in this mission conference? Amen? I hope you realize that. God's got us here for a purpose. God brought you here for a purpose. Do you realize that God is involved and wants to be involved in this vision conference? You understand that? Let me ask you a question. Are you involved? Are you involved? Man, after he had seen it, immediately. Man, I'm telling you something. Get a vision. Heritage Baptist Church, get a vision for your mission program. Get a vision for reaching people. Get a vision for church planting. Get a vision of people crying out, come over and help us. And then do something about it. Not next week, not next month. Let's do something about it tonight. And then immediately, Paul said, look at it. Immediately we endeavor to go. Well, our church hasn't got everything done here it should have done. Well, I've got news for you. If any kind of church is in action, it'll never get done everything it should get done. Amen? I'll tell you what. In my life, I hope I haven't got everything done that's got to be done. I don't have all my ducks lined up or whatever. But bless God, I hope I never have them all lined up. Amen? Because it keeps me shooting. If they're all lined up, I can knock them off. But if they're all over the place, man, it's going to keep me busy. Amen? Immediately. Can't wait. It can't be put off. It must be done now. Amen? This mission program. Look, you've got to decide what you're going to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you going to just keep it here? You're going to put it on the back burner? You're going to push it aside? or you're going to do something with it. I hope that you've all been praying for this mission conference. I hope that you're all ready to make a decision. All I want you to do is make the decision. I only want you to act on what the Holy Spirit of God wants you to do. We look at this. Not only that. Immediately. Oh, look at this. We and us. Oh, look at this. We see this here. After he had seen the vision immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. Immediately, then it was we and us. God wants everybody involved. Amen? God wants everybody in this room. The smallest children, the teenagers, the adults, the older people, the younger people, the husband, the wife, the men, the women, the teenagers, all. He's looking at that apostle. Look at it. Immediately, we. And us. Timothy and Luke and whoever was with him. We're going. Amen? We're going to get involved. We're going to go to action. Endeavor to go. Verse 10. Like I said, endeavor to go requires action. If you're going to go, you got to get up and go. We can't sit. We're becoming very good spectators in our churches. We're becoming very good spectators. Sightseers. Man, I'm telling you what. You go to churches, and 20% of the church usually carries the other 80%. I've been all kinds of churches, man. I've seen it all throughout my life. But I'm telling you, there's a handful of people, maybe 20%, not probably being very kind, carry the other 80%. The other 80% goes, yeah, this is our church, and yeah, this is mine. We're doing this, and we're doing that. Well, bless God, get up and do it. Amen? Get up. The other 20% are saying, yeah, if it's yours, do something with it. Man, look at it. He said here, it requires action. Are you in action, or are you just a spectator? I get annoyed at spectators. Bless God, get out of my way, man. I got something to do. Because I'm becoming older, I'm becoming a very impatient man. If you're not going to do it, get out of my way, man. I might not remember, get older. If you're not going to do it, get out of the way. I might not remember how to do it, but get out of my way, man. And I'm telling you what, that when you get older, the simplest tasks become the hardest. I'm thinking, God, help me. See, my mind still got to get them, attack, 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 attack. But the body goes, okay, 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 okay. I got more people trying to say, my kids, and they say, Dad, slow down. Well, bless God, if I get any slower, I won't be moving, amen? Man, I'm telling you what, I get frustrated. I get discouraged if I'm not doing something. I couldn't go to Africa. My wife said, I wish you'd have went. You could have went and died because stay at home. Stay at home. I'm miserable. I was talking to somebody on the phone the other day, and they said, well, it's a good thing you didn't go to Africa. I said, there's something worse than dying. Not doing anything. To me, there's something worse than dying. Standing around trying to figure out what to do. Amen. He still said the best thing for me. He said this. He said, when I die, I want all hell to throw a fight because I'm no longer in the fight. Or throw a party because I'm no longer in the fight. He said, man, I want all of hell to throw a party because I'm no longer in the fight. Most of you, you get out one of those whistle things and go like this. Plus, God, I want to throw off dynamite and everything else, shoot rockets, everything else, because I'm no longer in the fight. Man, he said, look at here. He said, look at after. The vision, immediately, and we and us, and endeavored us to go, action or whatever. Look, I wish you could all go to the mission field. And you can. Every person in this room can go to the mission field. I'll tell you how. Every person in this room can go to the mission field on their knees. Every person in this room can go to the mission field on their knees. Get yourself a country. Pray for that country. Get yourself a country that's got a missionary in it. Pray for that country and pray for that missionary. Everybody here can endeavor to go to the mission field. The one way you can do it is on your knees. I'm convinced more prayer is a very powerful weapon for the Christian. But we don't use it. We're very weak in our prayer life. Not only that, you can go with your wallet. No! Oh, all right. All right, I said wallet. You know what that is, all right? You can go with your finances, your investments. What better place to make investments for all eternity? American people are finding out all the investments they got are starting to come down to nothing. all the people have been saving up. And it's sad. It's very sad. People that saved up for the retirement and all this other stuff and whatever, they're starting to lose it all. Well, bless God, when you invest in the mission field and you invest for souls and you invest for Jesus Christ and God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to worry about losing it when you get to heaven. It's going to be there. I said, I may live in a cardboard box down here, but look out for the mansion when I get to heaven. Look out, man, for the streets of gold. Oh, down here we want gold. Up there, oh, that helps. I'm walking on the streets of gold. Man, I'm telling you what, I may not have much here, but I'm waiting for glory. And whatever rewards or whatever I got, I want to lay them at the feet of Jesus. Do you understand we're going to come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ? And man, it's going to be hard enough to see him face to face. It's going to be hard enough, but it's going, oh boy. How are you going to look Jesus in the face and in his eyes? I don't know how it's going to happen because, man, I don't know if I can look him in because all my life or whatever. But one regret, well, I'll have nothing to lay at his feet. How many Christians have never led someone to Christ? How many Christians has never invested in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah, they got the things down here. Look at on earth, it is not the one that has the most toys wins down here. It's not. The last thing, and I'm done real quick. Look at this. Not only that, we see the vision after the vision. And I love this. This is the favorite part. All right? The favorite part. The result of the vision. The results of it. Now look at this. And I'm telling you something. This is where it gets exciting. I can preach on this or whatever. I'm trying to get you out before midnight. Amen? Because I know that you got to run buses tomorrow and teach Sunday school class. And I know that's very difficult for you because we live in America. And if we don't get 15 hours sleep, we can't make it. Amen? But anyway, we see this. Now look at this. This is the exciting part. You see the vision. After the vision, the results. Look at this. And of course, I haven't got time to go down through this. I'll go through it. But look at Lydia. Verse 14. The people that are saved, the lives that are changed. I always like to preach sermons where, man, you see this going on, see this, and then the results. I'm going to tell you something. When you have a vision and you act on that vision, God is going to give you results. Amen? We see Lydia. We come along with Lydia. And, of course, Lydia comes along, and we see this. Boy, Paul went. Of course, he comes up, he sees Lydia and whatever, and she gets saved in her household. Verses 14 and 15, you see this, man. Not only does Lydia get saved, a certain woman named Lydia, a soul of a purple in the city of Tyre, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. I like that, man. When you go, God opens doors. Amen? Well, God's not doing anything. I don't see much going on. Well, if you get out where the action is, you'd see something going on, amen? I mean, look, you're not going to get anything done sitting on your blessed assurance. It's amazing what you accomplish when you get out where God wants you to work because God opens doors. And like it says, her heart, the Lord opened. And that she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household. Oh boy, look at that, man. Lydia gets saved and then her household. Man, the result of the vision. Then go over to the Philippian jailer. You skip over it a little bit here. You see the Philippian jailer. Of course, we all know the story of Paul and Silas being in jail or whatever. And God works in the Philippian jailer. And look here at verse 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I've heard that statement a couple times on the mission field. Witnessing to a couple people, I think it was Malawi. Got done, and we were passing out tracts before that, and there's a group of people we were witnessing to, and I think it was the man with me, one of us turned around, and there was a 16-year-old boy, and he comes up and he goes, what must I do to be saved? That tract, he was reading it, but we was witnessing to somebody else. Well, you know the Bible, the Bible doesn't work. I'll tell you why the Bible doesn't work. You don't work the Bible. Remember when I look at the Bible, says, look at it, man, goes, sirs, what must I do to be saved? God says, it works today. And there are people out there who think that. And so we look at the Philippian jailer, and of course we see this, him and all his house. I'm telling you, look at the results. Lydia, the Philippian jailer, all the church of Philippi comes into existence. Paul started the church of Philippi, ain't it? Now look at the results. Not only that, the gospel goes to Europe. You understand it? The gospel, look, the gospel should always be on the move. Don't ever let the gospel stop with you. Well, you got saved, but stop there. How about your mom and dad? How about your brother and sister? How about your neighbors? How about the people that you work with? How about the people that you're committed? Don't ever let the gospel stop with you. That's what Acts 1:8 goes. Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, God was saying, look, there's no place to stop with the gospel. Amen? There's no place to stop with the gospel. And so we see the gospel goes to Europe. You know what's good about that? It came to America. Huh? You understand that? Boy, Paul, that man says, come over and help us. We don't see the whole picture. If Paul wouldn't have went, and he wouldn't have yielded to the Holy Spirit, would he went to Europe? Would the gospel came to America? You understand America was a mission field at one time? I got news for you. It's the mission field again. When you look at that. The gospel comes to America. So number one, look at the results. Not the number of people being saved, not only this, but the devil take the hit. Go to verses 16 through 18. We see this damsel here that's possessed with the spirit. We see verse 16, right? And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met with us and brought her master's much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which shewed unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out at the same hour. Boy, the result was what? People were being saved. Families were being saved. The gospel was on the move. Man, things were happening. Churches were being started. The gospel went to Europe. It came to America. Then I love this one too. Satan took a hit. I don't know about you. I love it when Satan takes a hit. He's a very powerful person. So, to be truthful, he slaps us around all the time. Well, it's good. I mean, he slaps us around, but I love it, amen. Pow! He takes a hit, amen. I love it when the devil takes a hit, amen. Most of you say, the devil doesn't bother me. I'll tell you why he doesn't bother you, because you're working with him. Ouch! You know, so I'm still working with it. Are you doing something? If you're not, you can work for him. The devil does, well, you know, I don't go through a lot of things other people go through, and I don't have all the heart, so whatever. One reason, not the only reason, but one reason is maybe you're not doing anything to hurt the devil. I don't have to worry about it, man. I've been screaming. I get slapped around a lot. Man, I'm telling you, the devil attacks. Right? Why? Because we're trying to do something. Not only that, last thing is this. The grace of the Lord was manifested. Look at the grace of the Lord was manifested. We go here and look at verse 25. Of course, we see this. Look, it cost the missionaries to get the gospel out. We see Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas here in verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them and cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. When the gospel's going forward, there's a price to pay for it. Don't be shocked when hardness comes and difficulty comes. And you'll come to this mission conference and the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you. And you'll yield to the Holy Spirit. And you'll think, everything will be all right. I got news for you. As soon as you start making decisions for God, look out. Because that's when the devil comes. So, but the grace of God came along. Well, we see this here. The grace of God come along, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, for the prisoners heard them. Look at you. You will go through difficulties. You will face things that you don't understand. You'll see things that go on in your life and you'll try to figure out why. And you'll see no light at the end of the tunnel. You'll go through those things. But I'll tell you what, hang on. Because the grace of God is coming. Amen? The grace of God. See, a lot of times we don't get the grace that we think we need until the time comes where we need it. But when we need it, it's there. Amen? It's there. We see the grace of God comes in action. So real quick, look at this. Your theme is visionaries, all right? Heritage Baptist Church, if you're going to be visionaries, look at somebody in the world is saying to this church, come over. Help us. Do you got a vision? What are you going to do? What's going to happen after you get a vision? You're going to see the results. And I guarantee you, when you act, on that vision, there will be people saved. There will be lives changed. There will be churches started. The gospel will move on. It'll move on. And you'll see the grace of God manifested like you've never seen it before. But you got to do something with your vision. I'm asking you two things tonight. Number one, yield to what the Holy Spirit of God wants you to do. Number two, act on the vision that the Holy Spirit gives you. Will you do that? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Father, help us. We're a very needy people. And Father, as we serve, and the longer we serve, it gets more difficult to keep a vision. And so, Father, tonight I'm asking you to help Heritage Baptist Church to see a vision of people of different nationalities and different people groups and different nations and countries. There are people, Father, that are calling out, Heritage Baptist Church, come over and help us. Father, when we get a vision and we see the missionaries present their work of countries without the gospel and people that need to be saved and churches that need to be started. And not, Father, not only see that vision as we see the missionaries' videos or whatever, but Father, to help us to act upon that vision. Father, everybody can do something. And Holy Spirit, I pray that they would yield to what you want them to do. And Father, thank you for the grace that you would give. And Father, thank you for the results that you would give. But Father, I pray now that we just yield. In your name we pray. Amen. But let's all stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. All right, let's all stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me ask you this. First of all, we've been speaking about reaching people around the world, but I don't know everybody in the auditorium. And it's, you know, we can speak about reaching people around the world, but I wonder if there's someone here tonight that you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder if there's anyone in the auditorium tonight you'd say, preacher, I do not know for sure I'm going to heaven. If I died right now, I do not know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. But preacher, would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Anyone? Anyone? Talking? All right? Anyone? All right? I'm talking to Christians then. All right, Heritage Baptist Church. You got your theme. A visionary. All right? Come over and help us. Would you do this, Heritage Baptist Church? Would you do this? Would you yield to the Holy Spirit? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you right now? And would you yield? And when you do get a vision of what the Holy Spirit of God wants you to do, would you act upon it? The altar's yours. Won't you come? Won't you come? The altar's yours. As you begin, as they begin to play, won't you come? Won't you come? Holy Spirit speaking to you? Not everybody can go to the mission field. Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you giving? Maybe the Holy Spirit of God speaking to some young person to go. Maybe God wants some young person, some young couple, or somebody in this auditorium. You've heard the call. Come over and help us. If God's speaking to any person, maybe you're the one that needs to go, like Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and them. Are you going to the mission field in prayer? How about your giving? What's your vision for the mission program of Heritage Baptist Church? What is your vision of people that need the gospel? What's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart about? People. People. The gospel needs to be preached. Is anybody going to go and preach the gospel? What are you going to do with the gospel? Has the gospel stopped with you? Would you yield to what the Holy Spirit wants you to do? Come over and help us. Involves the Holy Spirit working. Involves the man, the people to go. Involves the missionaries and the Lord. Involves the gospel. I hope you're praying about what God wants you to do this year for missions.
future.